Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, January 5th, 2014. 2014, people. Welcome to the new year. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I am Dana Barrett, and with me today, as always, producer Mike Roy. How are you?
I'm good, and you said something to me right before we went on the air that made me mad, and I almost didn't push your button.
Well, you always push my buttons.
Rim shot.
We're going to be having a great show today. I can already tell. The chemistry in the room is fantastic.
It is.
You can call us. The number here is 404-231-1190, and you can also tweet your comments to at Dana H. Barrett or with the hashtag BizRadio. That's hashtag B-I-Z Radio. We are live, so you really can call us. We'll answer, I promise. And, because it's a new year, there's something about New Year's and also birthdays, I think, that of course, birthdays, we all do one at a time, whereas New Year's, we all do it together. But, there's this whole sense of, like, it's a new beginning, it's a chance to make things better, it's a chance to leave the bad year behind and have good things happen in the new year. Obviously, we know it's all about resolutions and all that kind of good stuff. So I thought what we would do today is sort of do our usual stuff. We got lots of headlines to catch you up on, stories to keep you informed about, and some great clips, of course, from Business Radio X. But we also, I thought, would just sort of have an overriding theme, an overarching plot line, if you will, for throughout the show about sort of doing better in this year, being better in 2014. And sometimes that's just a baby step. You don't have to be worlds better, just a little better. That's all. So before we get into all of that, I want to catch you up on Bitcoin, because we've been talking a lot about Bitcoin and all of that kind of crazy stuff over the last couple of weeks. I still have trouble like even classifying Bitcoin because I'm still somewhat confused about exactly what it is. But I will tell you this. I watch a TV show called Almost Human on Fox. Have you ever watched it, Mike Roy?
Heard of it.
You've heard of it. Okay, well, it's a sci-fi show. And it's
supposed. Would you recommend it?
I like it.
Okay.
But I like a lot of TV. Like, I'm not super picky, I have to say. But I like it. I enjoy it. It's a sci-fi kind of futuristic show, not that far into the future, but where there's robots. And yet, anyway, the point of all that is that they mentioned Bitcoin in the show. And if you didn't know what Bitcoin was, you would have just thought it was something they made up, probably. But they actually made a reference to Bitcoin currency. Some bad guys were using Bitcoin in the show, and it was completely untraceable. Anyway, I thought that was interesting that it has made its way into our popular culture. But two stories to kind of keep you going on the subject. One is that there was a new story this past week about a Hong Kong billionaire investing in the Atlanta startup BitPay. Now, if you remember, we talked about BitPay a couple of weeks ago. There's no actual Bitcoin organization that anybody really knows exactly about. Like, it's out there somewhere, but it's all anonymous and nobody really knows who's doing what and how many people are involved or whatever. But BitPay is like its own organization, and what they do is make it possible for merchants to take Bitcoin as payment for services. So they are getting a big investment from, they've gotten several big investments actually, something like $2.7 million, and part of it comes from a very well-known Hong Kong billionaire. You can Google it if you want to learn more about that. And then, of course, we also talked more about bigger merchants starting to take Bitcoin, and the big one, of course, was Overstock.com. And there was a big story on the Bloomberg Business Week website about whether or not it made any sense for Overstock.com to accept Bitcoin. And I have to say, one of the things about the story that I liked was that it helped me make a little bit more sense of why Bitcoin is relevant. And here's what it said. First of all, they're saying, it's not really that sensible for Overstock to take Bitcoin because there's not that much Bitcoin in circulation. And Overstock is a huge company. So they may get more... they may sort of take it and it's not really meaningful. Not that many people can really use it, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, all of that, one of the things that's interesting about it, and this is, I think, what BitPay is doing, is they're charging less to the merchants for the transaction fee, or sometimes nothing. So the advantage to a merchant to accept Bitcoin is you don't have to pay those credit card transaction fees. So that makes some sense to me. But the bad side of it is that if the value of Bitcoin goes down before you have a chance to turn it into dollars, you just lose money. So if you take, you know, 10 Bitcoins and you think that's going to equate to $10, but then the value of Bitcoin goes down to $8 before you had a chance to switch it out, you've just lost $2. So you might not have paid that higher transaction fee, but you may lose money anyway. Seems a little risky to me. I don't know. We're going to keep an eye on this over the coming year and see where Bitcoin goes and what the analysts have to say and all that kind of stuff. It's interesting. And, you know, one of the other comments was there's a lot of people in our country who are sort of anti government getting into their pockets and, you know, libertarian. And I'm all for that. I'm not really into the government being in my pocket either. But one of the things they say about Bitcoin is because it's not government controlled, you kind of have to be for it if you're sort of a libertarian and not into government being in your pocket. Worth investigation. Anyway, all right, before I waste my whole show talking about something that I barely understand, let's get to our first clip from Business Radio X. This one, we didn't have that many shows on Business Radio X over the last couple of weeks, as you can imagine, because it was the holidays. Everybody was on break. They were chilling out, you know, sitting in front of the fire, feet up, smoking a pipe. I don't know, whatever they do. But we did have an episode of Growth Matters, which is a show hosted by Michelle Matthews, who is the president of Matthews Consulting Group. And she had as a guest Scott Geller, who is the CTO and president of Points of Light Digital. And I've got two clips from him today, but let's take a listen to the first one now. He's talking about something that I found kind of interesting. So let's listen and then we'll talk about it.
Then right before I got there, they acquired the assets of All for Good, which was originally built by Google for the incoming Obama White House to promote volunteer. It was designed to be the Craigslist, and Craig Newmark was actually one of the original partners, as well as to be the Google of volunteer opportunities, and Google employees built the software on their in their 20% projects. So it had some great heritage, and it actually supports serve.gov, which is the White House's volunteering and consumer community engagement website. So if you go to whitehouse.gov and you say, I want to serve, it'll actually take you to the offergood.org site. They didn't have a business model, so they didn't have a recurring revenue model. It was all based on donations. The founder of that actually ended up, he's at the White House now, so he was looking for somebody to take over and run this organization and grow it. So we took it over about 2.5 years ago, and it's grown about 10x since we took it over in terms of number of searches. It's gone from about 5 million a year to we had 50 million searches on our engine over the last 12 months, and it's growing, you know, pretty much month over month. So that's very exciting.
All right, so a couple of interesting things about this clip. First of all, again, that was the Growth Matters show, a very interesting interview, and if you want to listen to the whole thing, you can do that at businessradiox.com. But the two things about that. One, if you are thinking in 2014 that you want to do better by giving back a little bit more, I just thought that was sort of an interesting side note that you can go to the White House website and find ways to serve at a federal level, you know, or they may direct you back locally. But I thought that was kind of a good little reminder that, you know, you might want to do some volunteerism in 2014.
Be a better person.
Yes, that's right, in 2014. But I think the really interesting thing to me, and I've heard this a lot, this is a younger generation thing, I think. And when I say younger, I don't mean the kids. I mean sort of people in their 20s and 30s right now, maybe even 40s, I don't know, who start businesses. This almost could be a soapbox for me, I swear to you, but who start businesses without a business model or a recurring revenue model. That's what he said. He said they started this All for Good website with no business model and no recurring revenue model. And honestly, to some extent, that's the same thing with Facebook and Twitter and a lot of the social media websites. And what? And they get these big investments because they're cool, but then they don't really have a way to make money. And they end up trying to make money, all of them, via some kind of advertising. But the advertising dollars are stretched so thin nowadays. Everybody can't make $1 billion by getting, you know, car dealers to advertise on them. I just don't think it's possible. And so here's my suggestion. As you move into 2014, if you decide to become an entrepreneur, which I think is a fabulous idea, I think being an entrepreneur is a very good way to go, because you really can't count on big companies to keep you employed forever and ever. So if you have it in you to be an entrepreneur, which we're going to talk more about in the next segment, try to go into it with a business model and a recurring revenue model. That's just a suggestion from little old me. Take it or leave it, but it's just a thought. Anyway, we do have another clip from Scott Geller, which we'll play in the next segment. But in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break coming up here. And when we come back, I've got more clips, more news stories, a lot of soapbox today, a lot. I'm on a rant. I'm on a tear. Meanwhile, stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back.
Didn't we just hear this music like 15 seconds ago?
Yeah, somebody was pushing my buttons.
Oh, yes.
All right, this is still the Business Radio X Week in Review with Dana Barrett and Mike Roy, keeping you company on a Sunday afternoon. It's kind of cruddy weather-wise. So we were talking a little bit before the break about entrepreneurship, and there are two news headlines that came up over the past week that entertained me, shall we say. And so I wanted to share them with you, and perhaps they will entertain you as well. One is, this story just came out. It was about a New Jersey man admitting to defrauding Home Depot out of nearly $500,000. And listen to this. I love this, okay? For so many reasons. But this guy and his buds, they had this very elaborate scheme in which they would do something like this. I'm not going to get this exactly right. But essentially what they would do is go through Home Depot and they'd make up two exactly identical carts of products, right? And they would hide one of the carts somewhere in the store. And then they would buy all the items in cart number one. And then they would come back with the receipt and they would go get cart number two and act like they were returning it, right? So they'd go get the hidden cart number two and bring it up to the front and return all the items that they hadn't actually purchased. And then a couple of days later, they would take the items from cart number one and return those as well. So essentially, they would get double what they paid. So, right? Okay, but So we were talking about entrepreneurship. I'm going to make a link between these two things. So this guy, aside from the fact that he got caught, was, you know, not the dumbest guy in the world. You know, that was kind of an ingenious plan. But why couldn't he have put his energy into coming up with a legitimate business that would actually make some money? You know, he had a business model. Unlike the people that started All for Good, the website that we just talked about in the last clip, he had a business model. He had a way to actually make money. But it was illegal.
Yeah,
it's called stealing.
He won't be making any dumbest criminals lists.
No. No, I mean,
well, actually, that one actually wasn't that bad. I'm not condoning that kind of stuff, but that's...
I mean, it was kind of...
That's actually not too bad.
It was actually kind of ingenious. Yes. I mean, it was brave. There's another word for that that I probably can't say on the air. But, yeah, dude, like, put your energy towards something a little more positive. Just saying. And along those same lines, this other story came out right before Christmas, but I didn't have a chance to share it with you, so I thought I'd share it with you today. I don't know if you caught this, but there was a barbecue restaurant over in Sandy Springs called KC Pit Barbecue. Not sure if you ever ate there. Well, guess what that was? It was the front for a huge drug ring. So, and there's a whole list in this article. I found this article in the Business Chronicle again back before Christmas, but there's a whole list of all the people that were involved and who got arrested and are in big trouble for this. Here's what I have to say to them. Same thing. Like, how about making really good barbecue? That can, you know, you can make money with a good restaurant. You have to really have a drug ring? Really? Is that necessary? Come on. Let's have some real entrepreneurship instead of just the criminals. I just thought it was entertaining. So that just goes to show you how my sense of humor works. All right. So I mentioned before, since we're on the subject of entrepreneurship, that I had a second clip from the Growth Matters show that's hosted by Michelle Matthews, who herself is an entrepreneur and also a great radio host. But She also, Scott Geller and she talked for a whole hour. So it's a great show, and you really should go listen to the whole interview there. It's really interesting stuff. But I do have another clip I want to share with you from that show where Scott talks about being an entrepreneur. So take a listen.
So I do think when you grow up, seeing your grandfather start a business and then your father take it over. My other grandfather owned a drugstore, so I think it was in my blood. And I actually remember going to my first day at Ernst & Winnie thinking, wow, this is really weird working for somebody else. I'm sure I'll enjoy it, and I did, but I pretty much knew at some point I would be doing my own thing.
And why is that? Like, what is it about being an entrepreneur that sort of gets you up in the morning?
It's kind of hard to describe, but I think it's a feeling of no limit, that the only limits you have are limits you put on yourself, whereas if you work for somebody else, you have artificial limits and constraints that are there from day one. So, and I think there's just a sense of creation, of being able to create something that didn't exist or might not have ever existed had you not done it.
All right. So again, that was Growth Matters from BusinessRadioX.com. And you really should check out the whole interview by going to BusinessRadioX.com. I think it's GrowthMatters.BusinessRadioX.com. But my computer battery died, so I can't look that up and be 100% sure. So just go to BusinessRadioX.com, go to the list of shows, pull up Growth Matters, and you'll be all set. Okay. What I want to talk about this clip, you know, there are a lot of people that are just sort of born entrepreneurs. Either they grew up like Scott did in a family of entrepreneurs, or, you know, they get the bug somewhere along the line, and that's just who they are. There are other people, I have friends who I've talked to who just say, no, you know what, it's not in me. I don't have the interest in doing that. I don't want to take that kind of risk. Not interested. What I like about what Scott said, and I want to apply it not just to being an entrepreneur, but to life. What he said is the only limits you have are limits you put on yourself. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm preaching or, you know, telling you what to do or that this suddenly turned into a self-help radio show, but I'm going to, because here's the thing. I was in my yoga class the other day and I walked in kind of late, and there were maybe 6 or 7 people or 8 people already in the room, all in the back of the class. And it's a big room. It's at LA Fitness, big room. Everybody's in the back. And I go in with my mats and I make all kind of noise because the class was already starting. Getting in my seat that I always take in the front. Why do people go into a class? I don't mean just exercise classes or aerobics or yoga. I mean any class, and sit in the back. You paid for the class, or even if you didn't, even if it was a free class, you committed enough to get yourself in the door of the class. Now engage, put your butt in the front and engage.
They don't want to be the center of attention. They don't want to call attention to themselves. They just want to participate.
Yeah, well, knock it off. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just telling you that's probably what they do.
I hear you. I think people don't want to be called on.
Well, it's probably the same thing to classrooms.
Right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, they don't want to be called on by the teacher. They don't want to be looked at by the other students. Well, I say that's a limit you're putting on yourself. You know, sit in the front. Participate. So what if you make a fool out of yourself? No one really actually cares.
At least you're trying. At least you're engaging.
Right. Be there. Engage. You know what? Nobody. And the thing is, if just because you think people are looking at you, they're probably not. They're worried about themselves. That's why they're all in the back with you. So who cares?
Like, and it probably makes the instructors feel more important, too, if you're actually participating and engaging instead of just hanging in the back.
Well, that's a very interesting point, too. I mean, think about the yoga instructor who goes in to teach a class and everybody's like huddled by the back door. Like, what kind of feeling do they get? You know, I don't know. I just think, and it's just a metaphor, I think, also for all kinds of things. And that is engage, try, you know, even if you're afraid, even if you have some shyness or some fear or some, you know, you're risk averse or whatever it is. And I just liked that Scott sort of talked about his feeling about being an entrepreneur was that, again, the only limits you have are limits you put on yourself. And I think that's really valid and true. If you want to be a vice president, even if you're not an entrepreneur, you're working in corporate America and you're currently, you know, maybe a middle manager, or, you know, you're entry level and you want to be a vice president, well, go be a vice president. The only person putting limits on you and saying you're not good enough is you. Because I'm telling you, I've met some pretty ding-dongy vice presidents in the course of my work life. Yeah, I mean, there's some knuckleheads out there with big jobs, right? So they just didn't feel like they had limits. No one told them that they couldn't. So they did. So I just want everybody to go out in 2014 and like take that extra step. If you used to sit in the back row, sit in the second to the back row. You don't have to go all the way to the front on day one. Take a baby step, you know, sit two rows further up than you used to. You know, I try to tell myself this when I'm exercising or whatever, you know, I'm running on the treadmill. I try to run and walk. I sort of run, walk, run, walk, run, walk, right? So I'm like running on the treadmill and I go like, oh my God, I'm so tired. It's 2 minutes. Okay, just make myself run one extra minute. One extra minute. Like you could do anything for a minute. So just apply that theory, I think, to your life. You know, if you're in sales and you're making sales calls and you've made like nine and they've all been terrible, people have hung up on you and they've said you're stupid and your product stinks, make one more call. Like even if you think you can't make any more calls, make one more call, you know? Go one more minute on
the
treadmill.
That 10th one will be the charm. That's right. The one that they want to talk to you.
Right. Send out that one extra resume. You know, just do one more. That's kind of my plea.
Never give up.
That's right. Never give up. Stay positive. You know, I know. Okay, I know. I know I'm sounding hokey and not my usual cynical soapboxy self, but I really believe that you can do whatever you set your mind to.
We don't want the entire show to be negativity.
Right. We got to have a little balance.
A little bit of the balance. A
little balance. So.
Don't worry. The soapbox is coming.
The soapbox is most definitely coming. We're going to take another break here in just a minute or so, but I wanted to let you know that after the break, I do have a couple of interesting lists for you, as usual. And what? Mike's gesturing at me. I don't know what he wants. What do you want? Are we taking a break now?
I didn't know we were taking a break. We're going to take a break. And
in a minute, I said. Stopped. I was watching my timer. Jeez, he doesn't trust me at all. But we are going to take a break. And when we come back, I've got a couple really good lists for you, a couple more news stories, another clip. And yes, my friends, the soapbox. Stay with us. All right, we are back. I'm Dana Barrett. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. Mike Roy, pushing buttons, as always, keeping the show. There you go. Keeping the jazzy music running.
Sounded like you wanted to keep hearing that. You looked upset when I turned it down.
I do love it. I do love it. And so things are not going to change in 2014, as you can see for us, because we are as crazy as ever. And I don't want you
even crazier.
That's right. I don't want you to think that I will not be doing shameless self-promotions. So therefore, I will. If you haven't had a chance to go check out my website, it's new, relatively speaking. It's been the new version has been up for about a month or so, and it's just danabarrett.com, very straightforward. And if you like the soapbox, you'll like some of the articles on there. I have a little category that has a bad word in it, so I can't mention it on the air, but go check it out. And also, while we're talking about things we like to do on a regular basis on this show, I forgot to mention my usual sort of update on what movies I've seen and whatnot. And of course, I have to get in a few mentions of at least one mention of my favorite name ever, Benedict Cumberbatch. So I will tell you that my daughter, who is 21, went to the movies over Christmas and saw The Hobbit, which I did not get a chance to see, but said without prompting from me that one of the best things about the movie was the voice of the dragon, I believe, which was played by Benedict Cumberbatch. So thank you, Lauren, for that one. I also got a chance to see American Hustle, which I highly recommend. Awesome movie. I also saw, we see a lot of movies, what can I tell you? But we also saw Anchorman 2. Yeah, not really my kind of thing. There were some funny lines. I laughed. I definitely laughed. I'm not going to say that I sat there like a sourpuss through the entire thing because I laughed. But there was a point in the movie where I thought to myself, really? I wonder if there's any way if I could get these 2 hours back.
Did you like the first one?
I never saw the first one in its entirety. I saw like half of it maybe on cable, but...
And here you are complaining about a sequel when you never saw the original.
It was... Well, I also have heard from people who did see the first one, they didn't think the second one was as good.
Oh, I'm kidding. I haven't seen the second one, but I'm pretty sure you could get through it without seeing the first one.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. I'm going to admit right off the bat that that's generally speaking, that kind of movie is not my thing. Like, I just don't find that kind of humor that funny. I mean, I find it funny, but I'm not drawn to it. Let's put it that way. But things I am drawn to are lists. And I've got a couple good ones for you today. So Thank you. First of all, if you like to watch those house flipper shows on HGTV, I have some good news for you. Atlanta is actually number 6 on the list of top markets to invest in homes for rent. So if you have a little money and you want to maybe buy a home and fix it up and rent it out, this is a good city to do it. They're not suggesting flipping. They're suggesting buying and renting them out. But it's just interesting to know that it's a good investment. So if you're looking for a good investment, you might want to think about doing that. Just in case you're curious, topping the list is Fort Worth, followed by Dallas. In third, we have Charlotte. Fourth is Nashville. Houston is 5th. Then here we are, Atlanta, number 6. Oklahoma City, 7. Orlando, interestingly enough, 8. Las Vegas, 9. And Boise City, number 10. So all good places to buy homes and then rent them out. Kind of interesting. All right, along with our, so that could be your entrepreneurship for 2014. You know, maybe you don't want to like quit your job. You just want to like have a little side something to keep you, keep some income coming in. There's a show on, I think it's on HGTV called Income Property, where they kind of help people find income properties. I mean, you know, it's kind of not a bad way to have a little nest egg. So, you know, you need money to start. That's the problem with that business. You can't just like decide you want to get into it and not, you have to have money to buy the first property. But if you do it right and you get bank loans, I don't know. I've never done it, so I'm just talking. I'm just talking to talk, because that's what I do. Yourself. Just talking to myself with people listening.
No, just, talking to hear yourself talk.
Oh, well, that's that too. That, yeah. Well, that isn't that what I always do? All right. Taking the attention away from myself and back to another cool list for 2014, here are 5 hot technology trends for 2014. This is an article I found in the Business Chronicle, and I just thought it was interesting because we do talk a lot about technology on this show. So, and some of the technologies that come and go, I always wonder, you know, is that one going to stick? You know, like 8-track tapes, they didn't stick. And the kids listening to the show, because I'm sure there's tons of kids listening, are going, what's an 8-track tape? Okay, so first of all, privacy, of course, a huge trend in technology for 2014 is protecting our privacy. So anything that we can put on our phones, our computers, to protect our privacy, we're going to do. We're going to spend more, we're going to be willing to spend money to protect our privacy. Second trend, cryptocurrencies. Yes, my friends, Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies. Like, we're helping you become one of the people that have heard about Bitcoin, at least, and we're going to hear a lot more about it in 2014. So hopefully by the end of the year, I will have actually understood it and figured it out. Maybe you can help me. I don't know. Location awareness is another one that I kind of hate, but is going to be bigger and bigger in 2014. You know, you're seeing it now when you apps that do things like when you walk into a mall, they know you're there and they start, you know, sending you notifications that you can get this discount and that discount and get French fries over here or whatever. So that location awareness stuff, every app asks me, can it use my location? You know what? No, you can't use my freaking location. No. But it's popular. I understand why companies want to use it to market to you if you're nearby. I understand it. I don't like it, but I understand it. Also, mobility, of course, big in 2014, and the cloud. They combined those into one. Mobile cloud offerings is what they're saying. Essentially, we're so demanding now that we want access to all of our documents from our iPhones when we're out wherever. So you're going to see more and more of that. And then the last one, I really am looking forward to seeing how this plays out, but electronic health is the last one. It's about time that the medical profession upped their game when it comes to technology. I mean, how many times have you filled out the same freaking form with your name, address, phone number, social security number, insurance number, yada, yada, for the same doctor?
Mother's maiden name.
At the same time.
Cetera, yeah.
Like in
triplicate.
But yeah, they sit you down in the doctor's office with like a package of 11 forms and they're all the same. Really? It's time that the...
That is one area that it's a good thing it's finally...
getting better?
Getting better with the technology. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And I'm just going to put it out there, 2014 entrepreneurship ideas. If you want to get into the field of medical technology and trying to make that better and you have any expertise there, go, go, go. That's what I say. All right. I have another clip I want to air before our segment runs out. And it's actually from the archives because, like I said, we didn't have that many shows in the last 2 weeks. So I pulled this one from a Good Morning Atlanta episode, and I was interviewing Andrew Wells from Doherty Business Solutions. So take a listen, and then we'll talk about it. What do you think companies sort of have to offer nowadays as kind of a baseline just to be attractive to the right people?
Good question. We sort of codify that along three dimensions at Daugherty. One is just the people you work with. Having a people that are good fits, team-based, collaborative, that you enjoy going out having a beer with after work. Second, what type of systems do you have in place to help them really move their career forward? From a performance management and career management standpoint, are you giving them the tools and support that they need to advance? And then lastly, what are you doing to help them connect with the broader group? And that could be helping them connect with corporate citizenship, so nonprofits or assistance they're assisting their community, or creating some type of social environment that they're able to connect with other coworkers after work.
All right. That was, again, Andrew Wells from Daugherty Business Solutions. And Mike said he thinks maybe I played that one back in July when we actually aired that episode of Good Morning Atlanta. And it's possible.
Oh, I remember all, apparently.
I know. He's like got a brain like a steel trap over there. But the thing is, I really like that clip for a couple of reasons. And I thought it was a good reminder as we go into 2014, sort of about companies. Now, not just individuals, but companies treating their employees right and attracting employees. And I think one of the things that I find so interesting about that is that he talks about getting the right people is not just whether or not you have the right skill set, it's or look a certain way, or you know, work hard. It's also, do you fit into the culture? Like, do you want to go out with this person and have a beer after work? And if the answer is no, you probably don't want to sit next to them all day every day at work either. You know, I like to work with people who I want to go grab lunch with, you know, who I want to keep talking to when it's time for lunch break, not people that I can barely stand, right? So part of it is also just being the right fit for the culture. And I want to say that that's important on both sides. If you're looking for a job and you go in and your gut tells you this is not a good fit, run. Run in the other direction. I took a job once many years ago where I did have that little feeling that it wasn't going to be good. And let me tell you something. On day three after I took that job, I was cursing myself. It was not a good fit. And it took me 4 months to find another job. So I was in this horrible place for 4 months before I found something else. So you have to trust your gut, both as the employer and the employee, and your personality. And not that your personality is bad, but it just might not be a fit for that particular company. And I think that's important to be aware of. So as we move into 2014, you know, keep that standard in mind as you're hiring people. One of my hot buttons, you all know, I think is ridiculous hiring practices, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that over the year. But you know, in the meantime, if I try to give you little tips here and there, maybe people will just start to improve little by little. That whole one step thing, that's all we want, little by little. And speaking of who you should hire, we have a really interesting soapbox coming up about whether or not you should be hiring good looking people, and we're going to talk about that after the break. So stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and Mike Roy is sitting over there laughing at that last commercial. Marshmallow macaroni, yuck. That was like to take a quiz to see if you all pay attention during the commercials. All right, so...
And that proves we're live, because...
We just talked about the commercial.
About the commercial.
That's right.
That just aired.
We're live. You can call us 404-231-1190, and you might want to on this next topic, because... for the next 10 minutes, we're going to be talking about an article I found on CNBC's website. In fact, my boyfriend actually sent this to me. The title of the article is Want Better Returns? Hire a Good-Looking CEO. It was on CNBC's website. And here's the thing. For the good-looking CEO, they make more money, just in general, receive higher total compensation. But having them there also boosts stock performance when they first start the job, also when they appear on television. This is all according to the preliminary findings of a new study, I think, that's coming out of the University of Wisconsin. Here's the thing. what they're saying, look, you can't get mad. It's funny because I was reading this article, want better returns, hire a good looking CEO. Now, you may have opinions about this one way or the other, pro or con. But I was reading the comments. The comments are always the best part of these articles and people getting all bent out of shape. Oh, it's not true. You should care about the substance. You should care about the numbers. You shouldn't care about how somebody looks. But who are they bitching at? Because listen, we are the culture that's creating this. The people that are commenting are part of this society that we live in, this culture where we value beauty. And honestly, I'm sick of people complaining about it. That's the culture we live in. I like beauty as much as the next guy. I go to the movies to look at beautiful people playing roles. I do. I admit it. And here's the thing that really, I'm just sick of people complaining about it. Like, oh, well, I can't do X, Y, or Z because I'm not attractive enough, or I don't feel confident enough to try X, Y, or Z because I'm not the best. I need to lose weight, or I need to look better, whatever. Here's the thing. Have you ever watched a makeover show? You know, like HGTV, not HGTV. I watch a lot of TV. No, they don't. But TLC has like What Not to Wear. I forget what channel has, the Biggest Loser, People Are Losing Weight. Yeah. There's all kinds of makeover shows for individuals. And the point I'm making is that I think anybody can actually look attractive if you're dressed the right way and your hair is cut the right way and you're, for a woman, if you're putting on the right amount of makeup, and, or for a guy, if you're well-groomed and anybody can be attractive. It's not, even if you're overweight, watch some of those makeover shows. They take people that are overweight and they make them look fantastic without losing any weight. So stop blaming it all on, stop making excuses is what I'm saying. We as a society, this is who we are. If you want to try to change that, well, bless your heart, go ahead and try. But I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. What you look like, I'm sorry to say, is important. What you put forward, the image you put forward, matters. It matters. Why do you think people dress up for a job interview? Would you go to a job interview like with a 3-day beard and a crappy t-shirt? No. So don't go to your job like that, I mean, see, Mike Roy can do whatever he wants because there's nobody here. So he can wear whatever he wants. Right, Mike Roy?
So you're saying I don't look...
No, you look fantastic. He's in a suit and tie. You should see him.
I know.
But it's the beauty of radio, my friends. But here's my point. You dress for the job you want to have, not the job you have. You take some extra care about your appearance and stop getting bent out of shape when beautiful people succeed. Like, Marissa Mayer is featured in this article, and they talk about her, and then people are all bent out of shape. Oh, so you're saying she's only doing well because she's beautiful? No, nobody's saying that. That's not the only reason Yahoo is doing better. It's just one little tiny reason. It's a contributing factor. And I guarantee you, the way she presents herself is also a contributing factor to the fact that she moved up in the corporate world successfully. She didn't come in looking like a slob. Yeah, she happens to be an attractive woman just naturally. She has a pretty face. She has pretty hair. She's got a relatively good shape, I think, and all those things. But she also didn't... Here's a good example for you. Did you see the movie Dallas Buyers Club? Did you see that one, Mike Roy? Okay, well, Matthew McConaughey, who I think at least once, if not many times, was voted like the sexiest man alive, plays in the Dallas Buyers Club, a guy that's dying of AIDS. And he looks god awful. They had him lose a bunch of weight. They, dressed him in 70s god awful clothing or 80s. And, he's super skinny. They gave him a god awful haircut. I think he had a mustache and he looked ugly. So my point is, it's not just about your bone structure and your pretty eyes and whatever. You can be unattractive. You can look bad even if you're pretty, right? And you can look good even if you're not the prettiest person in the world. So why not choose to look good? Why? Just choose it. Choose it. It's up to you. Take a baby step. Talk to your hairdresser about the right haircut for your face. Stop into a cosmetic store if you're a woman and ask about the right cosmetics for you to have a professional look. It's not that hard. You don't have to wait to be the worst dressed person in America so that you end up on a makeover show. Just do it yourself. This is my 2014, a little more of my advice. Just
getting the year started off right.
Yeah. Stop finger pointing and blaming and getting all bent out of shape over something you have control over. You have the power to make yourself a better person. You can do it. You can look better. You can be better. If you want to be smarter, go back to school, learn a language. Like, you can do these things. You know, yes, everyone has limitations. I'm not suggesting that everyone's going to go out there and turn into the next Bill Gates, right? If I could figure out a way to do that, I would do it. That's not going to happen. But, you know, it's
you can always improve on yourself is what is the point.
The point, yes. And also, I just, you know, kind of in a way takes me back to that show where we talked about sort of people making excuses for being overweight, and it was like politically incorrect to say somebody's overweight, yet people are perfectly happy to make fun of skinny people. But the point of that was sort of that people were just saying, okay, well, I tried diets and it didn't work, so I'm just going to love the body I have and I'm going to be comfortable with it. Well, to me, what you're saying is I give up when you do that. I give up. And I'm not saying everybody, again, needs to be super skinny and look like a model, but you can try. You can try to do better. If you don't have a lot of time to exercise, then don't exercise a lot. Exercise a little. Like, even if you can only get in 10 minutes a day, do that.
Well, that is potentially a problem with time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. My daughter said to me, now she lives in Boston, which is obviously a different kind of city than here, but she said she doesn't really have time to exercise, but she walks a mile to class and she walks the mile back every day. So she's walking 2 miles a day. You know, if it's freezing cold or pouring rain, she might take the bus.
Well, that's a nice alternative because people do, in fact, work a lot and there really could be no time. But improvise,
right.
Walk to work or schools instead of driving if it's reasonable.
Right. Do things, even little things like park at the furthest parking space in the back of the parking lot.
Or walk up the stairs instead of using the elevator.
Yes. I mean, there are ways to try to, you know, where you can still fit it in. And that's what I'm saying. Like, do 10 minutes. 10 minutes is better than no minutes.
And it'll add up if you do it every day.
Right. Like, do 10 minutes, whatever it is. Like, go run out your front door and, like, literally run around the block and come back. Like, it's better than nothing. I think one of the things we do to sabotage ourselves is have this all or nothing mentality. I know I do it. Like, well, I don't have time to do a full gym workout, so I'm not going to do anything. And that's where you start sabotaging yourself. So just don't do a full one. Do a short one. You know, like, you don't have to... that's what I'm saying. You know, you don't have to make 2014 the year of like a whole new you. Just make it a slightly better you. Just make it a better you.
Baby steps.
Baby steps. Because here's the other thing people do. I think anybody who belongs to a gym has seen this one every single year. This week is the busiest week in the gym because everybody made a New Year's resolution that they're going to lose weight and they all go to the gym, of course, thereby ruining the gym experience for those of us who go year round. And they hang on. You know, they hang on through January and through February, and then by the end of February, they're gone. So why do that to yourself? Like, don't do an all-or-nothing thing. Don't say, I have to go to the gym every day and you know, be there for an hour and a half, and, you know, I need by the end of this year, I need to be, like, looking like I'm ready for the front cover of a magazine. That's not necessary.
Well, they're probably expecting dramatic results too quickly, as opposed to, and so they give
you
up on
frustrated.
It, especially if you don't have the result you want right away.
Yeah.
So they just stop and say, what's the point?
Right. And there is a point. That's
of
the whole
course,
thing, right? So, like, you start and you go slow and you don't push yourself too hard and maybe you'll actually maintain it. You know, do something like this. You know, again, like, same thing with the diet. You don't have to, like, necessarily cut out everything, but what about cutting out one thing? What about starting with just cutting out one thing and seeing how much better you do?
It may take a while, but it will show eventually. Yeah. Just as long as you don't give up on it.
I mean, for me personally, I lost like 30 pounds a couple of years ago, and one of the things I did was go from drinking a glass of wine every night to just on the weekends, and it made a big difference. That's a lot of calories. So let's sum up the entire show in our last 30 seconds. Just do one thing this year to make yourself better.
And be patient. Don't expect dramatic change overnight.
That's right. This has been the Business Radio X Week in Review. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.